This is Scott Patterson from I Am All In with Scott Patterson. Let's be honest. The 90s gave us some great things. The music, totally rad. The fashion, so fly. Home decor, that's a different story. In HGTV's new competition series, Totally 90s House, two teams of iconic TV stars take on two homes frozen in time. Paired with HGTV experts, they'll turn dated spaces into fresh, modern homes and compete for the ultimate bragging rights. Goodbye, honey oak cabinets. Hello, 21st century style. Totally 90s House special series premiere starts August 26th at 9, 8 central on HGTV.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
Changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news medias don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another of the legendary programs, What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance tonight. And tonight, he's my producer and sometimes my confuser, but he's none other than young Mr. Style. Hey, Style.
Hey, Pastor.
All right. What do you think of that intro?
It certainly was one.
All right. You got it. And tonight we have a real lady with us, And I've known this real lady for many, many years, over 50 years. And to me, she's as pretty as she ever was. Because she's a pro-life lady, and all pro-life ladies are pretty, both in the inside and the outside. And that is Miss Linda Tyes from the Right to Life Action Coalition of Ohio. Hey, Linda.
Hi, Pastor Ernie. How are you? You're too kind.
You know what? I tell you what we got to do. We got to do something. Pastor Hal, one of our pastors, he needs prayer. He's in a lot of pain, and he had a very, 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 very serious prostate problem. I got a call early this morning. He was in the hospital. Oh. And so I'm calling upon all our prayer warriors out there. We do this a lot, and it needs to be done. But Pastor Hal, he calls in here. He loves to give an invitation, invite people to get saved. And tonight he needs prayer. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, first of all you folks join with me. Remember, there's power in prayer. Much prayer, much power. Much prayer, much power. Lord, Heavenly Father, Lord God, I just would pray that all the folks would be praying with me as we hold up Pastor Hal tonight. I know that he loves you with all his heart. And Father God, and I know he's in a lot of pain, because he told me he was in a lot of pain. And his situation, I know it's a very, very serious situation with his prostate. So we just would ask, Lord God, that you would be a comforter to him tonight. Lord, that you would touch him and heal him, Father God. Give him a complete and total healing, Lord. This we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Alrighty. We got a lot to talk about tonight. The title of my message, Linda, as we go through this, if you have any questions or comments, just jump right in. But the title of the message was Why the World Hates Israel. Why the World Hates Israel. Mm-hmm. And today you're seeing what we call the Red-Green Alliance. And now, you know, there's two different definitions of the Red-Green Alliance out there. You know, we look at the Red-Green Alliance as being radical Islam and the communists, the Democrats, which are virtually communists. But also, if you look it up and you on the internet, if you Google it, it comes out with alliance between the communist and the environmentalist. And the communist and the environmentalist are one and the same, aren't they, for the most reason? I mean, that's radical. I mean, I'm an environmentalist, and you're, you know, we believe in taking care of God's good earth, but we're not radical environmentalists. In other words, you know, we won't dry up a complete lake to save some kind of a toad frog or something. We won't do that. We use common sense environmentalism. But anyhow, those are the two definitions. But what's taken place recently is that a lot of people that I know, Linda, that have been in the media for years that have changed. You know, the Bible says in the latter days they'll depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits. But they're turning. I'm talking about Tucker Carlson. He used to be pro-Israel. All of a sudden he's very anti-Israel. Greg Reese, Candace Owens, Mike Adams, Alex Jones. All of a sudden, there's this big anti-Israel movement here. And you wonder, because Scripture says in 1 John chapter 2 that they came out from us, but they were really never part of us. Had they been part of us, they would have stayed with us. And so we're taking a look at, because God's Word, the Bible, tells us without a stutter, why the world hates Israel. And more today, also, the world hates the church. It hates Christians. We see what's happening in Nigeria right now. They're killing Christians left and right. And so, and I could tell you, if the Democrats had their way, there'd be a lot fewer of us. I know I would be gone. They'd let me know that. And so they did without any stuttering. But anyhow, so we're going to pick it up. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, Linda, he starts out with verse 1 all the way through verse 14 with blessings. He talks about God tells him all of these blessings that he will give the people of Israel if they will do one thing, obey him. If they'll be in compliance with his law, he's telling them, look, I'll provide the food for you. You'll have your own land. Don't worry about going to war. Don't worry about your enemies. We'll take care of that. You won't have a problem with all that. All of these good things will you have. You'll have plenty of rain for the crops. All you have to do is just abide by my laws. And his laws weren't harsh ways, okay? I'll just read you verse 9. The Lord shall establish thee in a holy people unto himself, as he has sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. So he gives you this whole litany of good things he'll do for them if they will just obey him. And then he picks it up in verse 15, and he says, if you don't obey me, he starts with a curse. He starts with a curse of disobedience. And we left off on verse 24, so I'll pick it up in verse 25 in Deuteronomy 28. The Lord shall cause thee to be smitten before thine enemies. Thou shalt go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them, and thou shalt be removed unto all the kingdoms of the earth. Well, Linda, that prophecy was fulfilled later on here. First, we saw that you had... Let's see, it was the Assyrians, and then the Babylonians, and then finally the Romans in 70 AD. The Romans came in, destroyed the temple, and dispersed the Jews all over again. And this time, They were sold into Egypt, into slavery into Egypt. And so we'll pick it up here. And thy carcasses shall be meat unto all the fowls of the air and unto the beasts of the earth, and no man shall fray them away. The Lord shall smite thee with a botch and with the emrods. Now, botch is not a common term today. Do you know what a botch is, Linda?
I'm not sure. Like a growth or a boil or...
It's an ulcer or a tumor. You're right. It's
mm-hmm.
like an ulcer or a tumor in your skin. And he says here, with the botch of Egypt and with the emrods and with the scab and with the itch whereof thou canst be healed. Also, they were talking about these huge boils and emrods. And the Lord shall smite thee with madness and blindness and astonishment of heart. Now, that word astonishment is the same word that we use for confusion. And mm-hmm. thou shalt grope at noonday as the blind gropeth in darkness. And thou shalt not prosper in thy ways. And thou shalt be oppressed and spoiled evermore, and no man shall save thee. Thou shalt betroth a wife, and another man shall lie with her. Thou shalt build a house, and thou shalt not dwell therein. Thou shalt plant a vineyard, and thou shalt not gather the grapes thereof. Thine ox shall be slain before thine eyes, and thou shalt not eat thereof. Thine ass shall be violently taken away from before thy face, and thou shalt not be restored to thee. The sheep shall be given unto thine enemies, and thou shalt not have none to rescue them. Thy sons and thy daughters shall be given unto another people, and thine eyes shall look and fail with longing for them all the day long, and there shall be no might in thy hand. The fruit of thy land and all thy labor shall a nation which thou knowest not eat up, and thou shalt be only oppressed and crushed always, so that thou shalt be mad, for thine eyes have which thou shalt see. The Lord shall smite thee in the knees and in the legs with a sore botch, which we just talked about here, that cannot be healed from the sole of thy foot unto the top of thy head. And that's kind of what happened to Job, but his was boils. And the Lord shall bring thee and thy king which thou shalt set over thee unto a nation which neither thou nor thy fathers have known. And there shalt thou serve other gods with wood and stone. And thou shalt... Here, this next verse is a very interesting verse. Okay. And thou shalt become an astonishment and a proverb and a byword among all the nations, whether the Lord shall lead thee. Now, here... This prophecy is dealing, Linda, it was remarkably fulfilled over 1,000 years later. Not only was it continuously fulfilled, during an almost 1,900 years, Israel stood totally as a desert, as a total wilderness, while the Jews were scattered all over the world. And when the people of Israel, they had no homeland, but even with the establishment of the nation of Israel in 1948, Israel continues to be an astonishment and a proverb and a byword among all the nations. You know, we saw what happened here with Israel, with the Jews, and Spain. And the Spanish, what it, and also you had, well, of course, Nazi Germany, what happened to the Jews, and Russia, what happened. I mean, today, you've got the entire United Nations that are totally out for the total destruction of Israel. And, yeah. And so, and here in this country, and in both to our north and to our south. Well, especially to the north in Canada, you've got this big anti-Israel growing, okay? And why is that? Well, we're reading it. We're reading why that is. Now shall carry much seed out into the field, and shall not gather but little in, for the locust shall consume it. Thou shalt plant vineyards and dress them, and shalt neither drink of thy wine nor gather thy grapes, for the worms shall eat them. Thou shalt have olive trees throughout all the coast, but thou shalt not anoint thyself with the oil of thine olives. The olive shall cast its fruit. That means the olives will drop off of the tree before they're ripe. And thou shalt begat sons and daughters, and thou shalt not enjoy them, for they shall go into captivity. And all the trees and fruit of thy land shall the locust consume. The stranger that is within thee shall get up above thee very high. Thou shalt come down very low. He shall lend to thee, and thou shalt not lend to him. He shall be the head, and thou shalt be the tail. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon thee, and shall pursue thee, and overtake thee, till thou be destroyed, because thou hearkenest not unto the voice of the Lord of thy God to keep the commandments and the statutes. Well, let's stop for a minute. Now here, when I mentioned those people, Tucker Carlson and Greg Reese and Candace Owens and so on and so on, that are, you know, that are cursing Israel today, you know, God teaches what he's showing you, and if we continue, he will judge Israel. He will judge them. And the message is that he is very capable of doing that, and we are to be, we are told hands off. We are told hands off Israel. God has kept them separate. And if we curse Israel the way that these people are doing that today, then we're going to end up with a curse also. And so I believe what God, the Word of God says, don't you? And I'm not going to curse Israel. Because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart, for the abundance of all things, therefore shalt thou serve thine enemies, which the Lord shall send against thee in hunger and in thirst and in nakedness and in want of all things, and he shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck until he has destroyed thee. The Lord shall bring a nation against thee from the ends of the earth, as swift as the eagle, a nation whose tongue shalt thou not understand. Well, that prophecy again was fulfilled as a part of a very, very cruel nation when the Babylonians came in. But again, like I said, ultimately it was the Romans that totally dispersed them. He goes on to say, a nation of fierce countenance, which shall not regard the person of the old, nor show favor to the young. He shall eat the fruit of the cattle and fruit of the land until thou destroyed, which also set not leave thee either corn, wine, or oil, or the increase of thy king kinds or flocks or thy sheep, until they have destroyed thee. And he shall besiege thee in all thy gates until the high and fenced walls come down wherein thou trustest throughout all the land, and he shall besiege thee in all thy gates throughout all the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Boy, this next verse here is really something, because this is the reason God brought the harshest judgment upon Israel, but on any people. And thou shalt eat the fruit of thine own body, the flesh of thy sons and of thy daughters, which the Lord thy God had given thee in thy siege, and in the strait wherewith thine enemies shall distress thee. Well, here, that was a pretty desperate descent into cannibalism. And that occurred, if we read over there at the siege of Samaria by the Syrians, if you read over there, I believe it's the 2 Kings, chapter 6, I believe it's 26 to 29, the boy that describes that, that was the harshest judgment that God brought upon a people, cannibalism. And do you know why he brought that? Do you know what their sin was that caused him to bring that judgment upon them?
What was it?
Killing their children. Abortion. Well, abortion in that day, you know, the same thing, by sacrificing their children. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why America's national sin. He goes on to say, and so that the man that is a tender among you and very delicate, his eyes shall be evil toward his brother and toward his wife of his bosom and toward the remnant of the children which he shall leave, so that he will not give to any of them of the flesh of his children whom he shall eat, because he hath nothing left in him in the siege and in the straitness wherewith thine enemies shall distress thee in thy gates. And the tender, delicate woman among you, which would not venture to set the sole of her foot upon the ground for delicateness and tenderness, her eyes shall be evil toward her husband of her bosom, and toward the son, and toward her daughter, and toward her young one that cometh out from between her feet, and toward her children which she shall bear, for she shall eat them for want of all things secretly in the siege and straitness wherewithout thine enemy shall distress thee in thy gates. And if thou wilt, you know, see, remember, all God asked them to do is just listen to him. He gave them such a list of blessings if they would just, in fact, the one command more than any other from Genesis to Revelation is obedience. If thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear this glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God, then the Lord will make thy plagues wonderful, and the plagues of thy seed, even great plagues, and of long continuance, and sore sickness, and of long continuance. And he's talking about, that's the same word, where, you know, the word wonderful is not used the same way we use the word wonderful in a positive way. That there in the Hebrew actually means something that's extraordinary, an extraordinary plague. Moreover, he will bring upon thee all the diseases of Egypt which thou wast afraid of, and thou shalt cleave unto thee. And now listen to this. And every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of this law, then will the Lord bring upon thee until they be destroyed. And you shall be left few in number, whereas you were as the stars of heaven, for a multitude, because thou wouldest not obey the voice of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that as the Lord rejoiced over you to do good and to multiply you and so the Lord will rejoice over you to destroy you and bring you to naught, and you shall be plucked from off the land whether thou goest to possess it. And the Lord shall scatter thee among the people from one end of the earth even into the other. There thou shalt serve other gods, which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, even wood and stone. And among these nations shalt thou find no ease, neither shalt the sole of thy foot rest, but the Lord shall give thee there a trembling heart, and a failing of the eyes, and a sorrowful sorrow of mind. Now here's an interesting verse. And the life shall hang in doubt before thee, and thou shalt fear day and night, thou shalt have none assurance of thy life. Here, during their exile, the people of Israel would be subject to a lot of different persecutions in many nations. And so this prophecy, again, was fulfilled, literally fulfilled. And we've seen it, like it is today. You know, like what happened on July 7th, or was it October 7th there, a couple of years ago, what happened there. And, well, of course, the Nazi Holocaust, you know, people, there are those Holocaust deniers, but yet I've been to their museums there. And so this is still being fulfilled even yet today. And so he goes on to say, "And in the morning thou shalt say, would God if it were, and even thou shalt say, would God if it were morning, for the fear of thine heart wherewith thou shalt fear, and for the sight of thine eyes which thou shalt see." And here again, "And the Lord shall bring thee unto Egypt again with ships, by the way wherefore I spake unto thee, thou shalt see it no more, and there you shall be sold unto your enemies for bondmen and bondwomen, and no man shall buy you." Now that really happened in a major, major way, again, by the Romans, after in 70 AD, they sold them into Egypt. And so, but one other thing there, when he went back to the verse about the plagues, the earlier plagues, and he had mentioned that he has not, that there are plagues that we haven't heard about before. Do you know, there's evidence that's recently surfaced that Fauci may have been the one, there's evidence that started the AIDS virus, that created mm-hmm. the AIDS virus. So we're coming mm-hmm. up to a break. We'll be back right after this.
Some people say that no one should be condemned to die. They say that it's unhuman and it's cruel. They say that it's not right. But those same people carry signs saying they support a woman's right to choose. Show mercy to the ones that never show it, and none to those that need it most of all. You've got the nerve to call yourself a Christian when you'll see a killer walk before you'll see a baby crawl. Churches have been known to make a stand, but now we see some churches bending to the will of man. They used to set a standard, and they seldom let it down. Church used to change the man, now it's the other way around.
Once Before I Die, and that was my dear, dear friend, Danny Ray, who went home to be with the Lord a couple of years ago. And Danny was what a talented, talented guy. He wrote over 300 songs and made records, and he went home to, in fact, we did several songs together, him and I. And so, yeah, we did several songs together. He was a avid pro-lifer, always, whenever we needed, we had a fundraiser, he was always there volunteering. But you know, the interesting thing, that little girl that was singing there, I had John McTurnan. I don't know if you ever, John's one of our fellows that comes up with me on Fridays, Chaplain McTurnan. But one day I played that song, and somebody said, "Well, who was that little girl?" And I said, "Well, that's McTurnan." I said, "That's the way he sounds when he sings." And he said, "You said a lot of bad things, but that one really hurt." He said, "That one really hurt." But anyhow, that little girl, I got to tell you this very quickly, and then we have Pastor Hal wants to give us a quick update. That little girl did that in one take at the age of 5 years old. At the age of 5 years old, she did that song in one take. It was perfect.
Aww.
And today, or the last I heard, she was a commercial airline pilot. And so, anyhow.
Really?
Yeah. We have Pastor Hal. Pastor Hal, you're in the air. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling a lot better today. Went to the hospital and got checked up and some medicine and everything. But the reason I was calling was I was talking to you the other day about something really interesting that happened Sunday night after church. I came back to town, and I decided to stop at the Waffle House and get a cup of coffee. But when I walked in there, there was only one customer in there, a biker. So I went over and sat down and had some coffee, and he was getting ready to leave, and I heard him telling the waitress about the tough life he's had. You know, I guess he knew her personally, and you know how everything's been going bad in his life, and he went through a divorce that cost him $10,000, and her whole side of the family's harassing him and everything, and he doesn't know which way to turn sometimes. So I butted in. I took a chance, butted in. I said, "Sounds like you need a good comic book." And I had one of those Chick Tracts. They call them comic books, but they're very serious scriptural booklets. They call them comic books simply because they got drawings in them and sometimes a little bit of humor, but they get the point across. They use King James scripture, and they show the plan of salvation and give a sinner's prayer. So he took it, and I started looking at it, and then I used that as an opening. I said, "Do you know if you died today, whether you'd go to heaven or hell?" I said, "You got to start with basics to get your life better." And so he walked around the counter and came over to where I was sitting, and he started asking me questions about the Bible and everything and how he could get his life together. So I explained the plan of salvation to him, and he stood right there. This biker stood right there, and he repented of his sins, because I told him repentance is necessary before salvation. He asked God to forgive him out loud and asked Jesus to come into his heart and save him. And then after that, to show how serious he was, he wanted to get some Chick Tracts. I gave them to him. He was asking questions about different churches and denominations, and then I gave him a King James Bible, a brand new King James Bible I had in the car. And then I said, "You need to get into a good Bible-believing church now." And I told him one that was in the area. So he gave me his telephone number, name and telephone number, and to give to the pastor of that church to call him and get in touch with him. And he wants to go probably this Sunday, maybe even tomorrow night if they have a Wednesday evening service, and start growing. And so all because of that Chick Tract, a gospel tract. And if anybody out there puts down gospel tracts, man, that's one of the number one ways I've got to, you know, introduce the gospel to people. When I give them a Chick Tract like that, and then I wait for their response. And if they ask one more question about the Chick Tract or anything else like that, God shows me how to use that as an inroads to get to talk about the gospel and everything, and present the gospel to them and lead them to Christ. So I know I'm talking pretty fast right now, but I know you guys probably don't have much time. But this, I just want to encourage every one of your listeners, if you want to win souls to Christ, get some Chick Tracts or any kind of tracts, smiley face tracts that the pastor uses, but ones that have the King James scripture in them and a sinner's prayer, and tells them, you know, that they're all sinners, the penalty for sin, that Christ paid for their sins, and Jesus Christ is offering to save them. And I'll tell you what, tracts work. And there's going to be millions of people in heaven right now because somebody gave them a tract and they read it and got saved. And so that's all I want to say, Pastor. I encourage them all, get some tracts, you know, any place you go, a coffee shop, a grocery store, the post office, hand tracks the people. And you can never tell. Some people might be on the verge of suicide and depression and everything else like that. And that track you give them could change their whole life, get them saved and everything else. That's all I want to say, Pastor.
Well, you said it very well, Hal.
Okay.
So I'm glad you're doing better.
Okay, all I appreciate it. I'll go ahead and get off the air and let you keep talking.
All right, very good.
Okay, and, God bless.
God bless. He's dedicated, even. I know he's a lot sicker than he sounds right there. And but, you know, he is dedicated, and that's why he called in. We have a thing at our church, Linda, where we really talk about the Great Commission, mission number one, the Great Commission. And I carry a pack of smiley face tracts because everybody likes, they see the smiley face on it. And we go through literally hundreds of thousands of these tracts all over the country. So anyhow, with all of that, you've got something coming up, a gala. Tell us about it.
Oh, we do. We do. Well, you know, everything's so heavy today. I mean, just listening to all of the stuff from Deuteronomy, and, you know, you think, gosh, if we don't head in a positive direction towards the Lord, we're just asking for more and more and more trouble. And I love about Right to Life Action Coalition that we are totally motivated by the mission to bring people to Jesus, because once that happens, things make sense to people then. I mean, it's really hard to talk the pro-life issues to people who are closed already and who've been given over, you know? So we really try to be positive about a lot of the things that we do in hopes that we can open some doors. And one of the big doors we're going to open is a big celebration that that we're going to be having on September the 4th, which is the Friday of Labor Day weekend. We decided, instead of doing a fundraiser where we have a big speaker and, you know, all the regular things, that we would just do a gala to celebrate life and liberty and celebrate our 250th birthday for our country. So we've kind of laughed about it. We said, if any politicians come, that's great. And there'll be some people there who might get some awards. But we're not giving microphones to any of those folks because we want to concentrate on just enjoying life and liberty for one night in the middle of all the chaos that's going on in the world, to get grounded again and be ready to go back into the fight. So, yeah, we're going to be at the historic Valleydale Ballroom in Columbus. It's on Sunbury Road in Columbus. And the doors are going to open at 5:00, and we'll have some hors d'oeuvres, and dinner will be at 6:00. We're having a lovely Italian buffet with lots of Italian cookies. So the desserts are going to be fun. And then after, we will make some acknowledgments of some people from across the state who worked very hard on all of the life issues. And that's everything from the moment of fertilization to the moment of natural death. We're covering all of those issues. Abortion, of course, but infanticide, euthanasia, the whole question of suicide right now. We just have a lot of things that we need to cover. And so we will be recognizing some people who do a lot of good work, but they're just going to get their awards and sit right back down so that we can have a really nice live auction. I've got some of the coolest things for the auction. I'm really excited about this. I got a picture of George Washington at Valley Forge that has the 250th birthday insignia down at the bottom. And we had it framed, and it is just beautiful. And so we've got some things like that that we're going to have a live auction for. And then we are just going to dance the night away for those who want to dance, and listen the night away for those who like to listen to a big band. We have 18 pieces in the Rick Brunetta big band with two singers. They're going to do a segment of patriotic music for us. And then they're going to do some of the old things from the 40s and the 50s. And so people can sing along, dance along, listen along, and just celebrate like a big family celebrate the birthday, to celebrate life and liberty. So anybody who's interested in any of that can go to rtlaohio.org. All the details are on there. And if anybody would just like to come and be my guest, that would be fine. They don't have to pay a penny. They can just come. And if they want to bid on something or give something that night, that's great. But welcome to come as my guest if you would like to do that. So it's just going to be a great night of celebration. I think we went up one day last week, Gretchen, our president-elect, who's on the committee to do this with me. We made a drive, and Judy Harness, our president, up to the ballroom to just check on things. And Pastor Ernie, even all the chandeliers are going to be red, white, and blue. I mean, wow. It's beautiful. It's just going to be a beautiful, positive, fun, family kind of night. And we're just hoping that people from all over the state of Ohio or nearby, if you want to drive over, feel free to do that. We also, we set this another thing up because a lot of our pastors that we've talked to are all tied up. We've got fairs going on and weddings going on. So we also, we created a special little line item for donations that will be called Donations by Angels of Light. And that's for anybody who wants to send us like $200 to put towards training new leaders among all of our young people. We have a lot of things that we need to spend money on next year. One of the things, though, and your listeners might be real interested to know this, most pro-life organizations have a lot of paid people, and that's fine, and that works out really well for a lot of them. But when we put this coalition together, we decided to do it all on a voluntary basis. So all of our officers, everybody who lobbies, they all work as volunteers. We have a lot of professionals, but they all work as volunteers. So we never have to worry about there being a conflict of interest, you know, to be moving to the next step or, you know, getting a better position in an organization, you know, all those ego things that come along sometimes with organizations. So I just love that any dollars that come into this coalition go directly into our mission, which is to bring people to Jesus, to be able to see the truth about the value of every single life that is created in God's own image. So it's just an exciting thing to be a part of. I love the coalition so much. You've been a part of it from the very beginning. Like you said before, you and I have been at this a very, very long time. I was just showing Dan White, who's our VP. We went to a fundraiser tonight, and he stopped here to pick up some things for the gala. And I showed him the picture that you sent to me of you and I when we were both at Ohio Right to Life back in the 70s. And it's just a hoot. I look at it and I think, oh, my gosh. We were just babies, Ernie.
Yeah.
We were just kids. And, you know, thinking back in those days, give it 10 years or so, and we'll be able to turn this thing around. And it just kept getting deeper and deeper, but we can't quit. I mean, God calls us. He calls us to occupy until his return. And occupy is an action term. It's not sit around on your behind and just occupy your space in your chair. It means get out there and really be active. That's why we call this the Action Coalition, because we're all about the action part of it. So we're going to get together and we're going to celebrate. And anybody who would like to join us, we would love, love, love to have you. Again, that's Friday, September the 4th. That's the Friday of Labor Day weekend, which has turned into kind of a rough weekend for a lot of people. I can't believe how many people have weddings that weekend. So we may do something like this on another weekend next year. We might not use Labor Day. But But the response has been good. We've got a lot of people who've gotten full tables, and they're filling them up. And we're just going to have a good time being together, celebrating life and liberty in our United States, and being free, still being free to spread the gospel, free to do exactly, you know, what Pastor Hal was talking about doing. You know, pick up on those opportunities every time they come before us. Talk to people. I mean, everybody sitting around us has issues. You know, we've talked about that. You know, you can walk down the street, no matter who you come up against, they're going through something, and they can all use the Lord. So that's what he tells us to do. You know, in Matthew, he says, get out there, be disciples, get out there and do my work. So
absolutely. You know, Linda, yeah. it's an interesting thing, because I remember several times when back in the early days, when I was being criticized because we were out there on the streets from some of these prissy preachers. They were criticizing me for being out there on those streets and when this was legal and, you know, this. But anyhow, they would say that we, you know, we concentrate, we're called to evangelize. Well, we led more people out there. We led more people to the Lord out there in front of those bloody abortion mills than they did in those old dead churches, I can tell you.
That's working the fields, isn't it, Pastor? That's working the fields, and that's what we need to do. I agree. Had more of us been doing it earlier, maybe we wouldn't be in this mess.
Well, yeah, but it gives, you know, I always talk about it. Judgment begins in the house of the Lord, and that house it belongs in begins in the pulpit. And I've been preaching on that for over 50 years. But, you know, what I did is I got trying to clear my schedule for that night. And so what I've done is I've went and I've got two judges to sit in for me on that night. I have two judges.
You
do? Yeah, September 4th, yeah. And so can you, yeah, I have Judge Lynch and Judge Igler. And just to let you know, it takes two judges to replace one pastor. And so if they're listening out there.
So that's Dave Engler, is that who you're talking about? Judge
Dave
Engler.
Yeah, and Matt
and
Lynch.
Who's the other one? Oh, Matt. Is Matt coming too?
Yeah, they're going to both be. Yeah, they're going to be in my chair for me, taking care of that that night.
And well, we're going to miss you because you have a birthday right around that time, too. And, you know, that's kind of a fun time to be near you, because I always try and bring something fun from Deets' Chocolates in Findlay, Ohio for you.
Well, I haven't given up on trying to be there. I'd like to be there. I haven't seen you in a long time, and hopefully you'll be coming this way here in the next couple of weeks. And so we have
an
opportunity.
Yeah, actually, I think, we've got a district meeting there, I think, on the 15th. So maybe we can get together then if you can't make it down. I'd love for you to come, though. I think you'd really enjoy it. But it's a long haul from Cleveland sometimes to get down there. And you've got so many things going on. You are a busy man.
Yeah, I know. You know, it's, people ask me, how do you do it, Pastor? And I think it just takes us longer to get the same thing done nowadays. We don't move as fast, do we?
It's, that is for sure. We want to, but we can't always move as fast as we used to.
You're not kidding about that. Do you want to stay with me, go through some of these articles? I understand if you want to get your beauty sleep. But,
No, you know what? I can hang around until about 11:15, and then I probably will jump off. But, yeah, I'd love to stay for a while if that's okay with you.
All right, yeah, we have some quick issues to talk about. And one of them, you know, of course, the big news out there today has to do with Dolly Parton. Passed away. She's made it. She's our age, and she passed away. And she, I didn't know about her. I knew that she came from a poor background, but that they had 10 children, and they lived in a cabin there in Tennessee, up in the mountains, and with no electricity or no running water. And now I remember back in the 50s visiting some of my cousins that lived out there in Kentucky and Tennessee, and they didn't have, they still had outhouses. And I'm talking about the early 50s. They still had outhouses, and they actually had, instead of running water in the house, a hand pump out there. And so, but that woman was talented. She was really talented here. And I understood that she was very, very generous. And she had a profession of faith. And so everybody that knew her said she went home to be with the Lord. So praise the good Lord for that. Some good things mm-hmm. that are happening out there. We have to, a really good thing happened, and that is that you saw the Supreme Court passed that 6-3 to where now the blue states have to turn over their voter rolls. They refuse to turn over their voter rolls, get all those dead people off and all those illegals uh-huh. off. And if they refuse to do it, the post office will not send them ballots. And this is a big, big deal because the blue, you know, that's, you know, you saw what just happened recently there in New Jersey. All those mm-hmm. people, what, 600,000 people they found, you know, so that is super, super good news. And then here, more on Domendi there with his government-owned, five government-owned grocery stores in New York.
Oh, my gosh.
All the bodega owners are up in arms. They are up, and they're saying, this guy, he will put us right out of business. And do you know what, but you know how he's going to fix it, see? In the restaurants, the restaurants there, they have to pay their workers. They're raising the minimum wage in New York City to $30 an hour.
They are?
Yeah, that's what he's, yeah. Now, let me ask you that. I mean, here, how many restaurants do you think is going to go out of business with that? I mean, how are they going to be able to pay their employers $30, the minimum wage, $30 an hour? That's going to be a little tough on them, isn't it?
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh.
But the good news is out there, for government workers, all the government workers get 5 days off, up to 5 days off, if they've got a sick pet at home, dog or cat or even a hamster.
Oh, well, that's nice. That's yeah. so sweet. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah. So that's going on out there. And so also, you saw that Darlene Graham went over a Norman for South Carolina Senate seat. I'm a little bit concerned about that and about her. I'm hoping she's not going to be another Sandra Day O'Connor. She had been teaching some courses on DEI, and that kind of very concerns me. So we could not afford another Sandra Day O'Connor, and I'm concerned about that.
No.
That's... Do you remember what Reagan, they asked President Reagan, what was the one thing you could undo, the worst regret that you have in your, and he said, Sandra Day O'Connor, appointing Sandra was the very, very worst mistake that we had made. So, other good news very quickly, just wanted to say that Christopher Wray has been caught, and he's under a lot of investigation, and he may be rolling over on some of his friends, so we're up to a break. We'll be back right after this. We'll be back with a whole lot more. Don't go away.
Fight the fight. Stand. Fight the lies. We are there. Let's come against the night.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left.
the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.
Your morning rituals can set the trajectory for your day. Optimize your morning routine and fuel your mindset with the G2 Boost Collection from Pilot. Powered by the science of color, these premium gel pens feature curated colors designed to power your day. Blue for productivity, purple for creativity, and pink for optimism. Go grab your pack of G2 Boost today at Walmart. G2 Boost. Hues to power you.